Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? As my dad used to say, you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do through today. So let's go before His throne together. Our great God and our King, as we prepare for this message this morning, Father, I ask that You'd focus our hearts and our minds not on ourselves, not on our own wants, our own wishes, but squarely on You. You are the author, You're the finisher of our salvation, You are the creator of all things. Father, I pray that our hearts would be softened. I pray that we would desire to hear a word from You. We would desire for You to be not only glorified, but for everything that is said and done for the next few minutes to be used by You. Father, as always, hide me behind the cross. And let every word that comes from these feeble lips bring You and You alone glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Growing up as a child on that farm I've told you so much about over the last several months in Stokes County, I grew up in a time when we had four channels on TV. Anybody else remember that? Some of y'all are like shocked to hear that there's only four channels. Some of y'all had two, okay. Well, we had Channel 12, Channel 2. If the weather was right, we had Channel 8. And then we had Channel 26, PBS. Well, on PBS, I didn't watch a whole lot of PBS once I outgrew Sesame Street. But watching PBS, there was a gentleman on PBS. His name was Bob Ross. And Bob was a painter. He had the craziest hair. Oh my goodness. It was like out to here. But he spoke so softly as he would paint. It was just like, I'm going to put this little bush right here. Oh, it's just a pretty little bush. He spoke so softly and so evenly. And I found out later why. You see, Bob Ross was an interesting man. He spent 20 years in the United States Air Force. And in many of those assignments in the United States Air Force, Bob Ross had to He had some pretty tough assignments in which he did a whole lot of yelling, a whole lot of barking orders. And after he left the military, he made a promise he would never yell again. And I have to think, as Bob Ross spoke so softly and so evenly as he would paint those pictures, I have to think that he probably held on to that promise. What always amazed me about Bob Ross is how that you'd get this enormous white canvas in front of you. I'm not an artsy person, okay? I'm just not. But I would be amazed as I would watch him, and he would take this palette and he'd put some paint here and some paint there, and then he'd get his paintbrush out and he'd get a little paint on here and he'd look at it and he'd be like, nah, and he'd get a little paint up here and he'd mix both those together, and I'm like, what in the world did you do that for? That's the craziest color I've ever seen. And then he would go to that canvas and he'd say, oh, right over here, I think there just needs to be just this beautiful little bush. And he'd make a bush. Or then he would paint a tree. And in the one spot right in his canvas, there'd be the most gorgeous tree you've ever seen. I'm thinking, wow, now that's cool. In 45 seconds, he painted a tree. But what's he going to do on the rest of all that white that's out there? And every time I thought that Bob Ross had lost his mind, I'd come back a few minutes later, and before you know it, there'd be this beautiful painting that he had painted of this gorgeous landscape, complete and full of color and life. You know, I think many times in the church, we get kind of like I was as a kid. We get so focused on one little area, we begin to miss the rest of the picture. See, that was one of the beautiful things about Bob Ross. He didn't see just a bush. He saw the whole picture. The truth is, church, it is very easy for us as children of God to miss the grander divine works that our God is doing in and around us if we don't have and if we don't develop a bigger picture, a wider picture, a kingdom vision. It's easy to become myopic. We get very, very nearsighted from time to time. And very often in the church, we tend to, and I'm guilty of this. I'm anytime you hear me talking, trust me, I'm guilty of all these things. What I'm telling you is, it's very often we begin to make things about me. You ever done that? Man, I have. We make it about me. Sometimes we make things about me and Jesus, or maybe we broaden our vision just a little bit and we begin to look at me and Cornerstone Baptist Church. Me and the church. But listen, and I know this is going to come as quite a shock, but don't throw any hymn books until I'm done with the message. Okay? It may come as quite a shock, but a kingdom vision, a kingdom-wide vision, seeing that big picture that God sees, is so much bigger than just us as individuals. It's so much bigger than just the local church. It's so much bigger than a collection of churches, the Surrey Baptist Association. It's so much bigger than a state organization, the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. It's so much bigger than the Southern Baptist Convention. It's even bigger than the church, the total, if you will, the bride of Christ. Having a kingdom vision means that we're able to look beyond everything else that is happening, to the ultimate fact that Jesus Christ is the one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His rule extends over our life. It extends over your life. It extends over my life. His rule extends over every event in this world, every square inch of this beautiful planet that you and I are blessed to walk on and experience. His rule extends over even the smallest neutron in this universe. Listen, His rule extends beyond even that into our eternity, even beyond time and space. Man, think about that. He is our God. He is our King. He is our Lord. But so many times we want to shrink Him down and we want to make it about our wants and our wishes. That little bush in the corner, because that's all we can see. Or that one little tree, that's all we can see, when what God sees is the big picture. And He wants us to have that same kingdom vision. But you know what's amazing is that our God desires for us to have a place in this kingdom. He desires for us to have a place and a work for us to do. But we, the church, must learn what our place is. We, the church, must learn what our place, what our function, what our role is within the kingdom of God. Because we can get so caught up in our own wants, in our own wishes, we will not only listen, we will not only miss out on that bigger picture, but we can also, here it comes, do great harm to the kingdom if we are not careful. As you can tell, I'm a little fired up this morning. My heart's heavy. And I desire for God to be glorified this morning. If you've not already, you can tell the title of this morning's message is a kingdom vision. That's what I desire to have in my personal life and as a pastor. And I pray that you desire to develop the same thing. No matter how big your kingdom vision is now, I pray that you'll desire for God to enlarge it. So let's get into it. Take your copy of God's Word if you haven't already. Meet me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Let's begin in verse 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. All that can, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's inerrant and infallible Word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says this. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I pray the Lord, you can be seated, church. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. I pray that we can come back to, if the Lord allows, I pray we can come back and spend some time digging deep into the Lord's Prayer here at some point in our time together. But what I think He would have us focus on is just these two verses this morning. This passage, as I mentioned, is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. Look again with me in verse 9. Notice this first verse here. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I want you to notice that first part there. In this manner, therefore, pray. Now, before we really get into the meat of the message, I want to park right here for just a second and clean up something that we, I think, very often get wrong. This does not mean that we use only these words in just a recitation, an empty recitation. What Jesus is saying here but is pray in this way. Very often we reduce these words to just a empty, casual, if you will, recitation. And that's exactly what Jesus warns against in verse 7. God willing, we'll get a chance to go over that at some point together. The intent of this prayer is not to give us words to say, but it's to teach us what things to focus on. The intent of this prayer is to have us realize what things we are to hold in our hearts, those things that we are to strive for in our lives, those things that we're to live out before this world that is around us. Now I want you to notice that next phrase. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Church, having a bigger vision, a kingdom vision, is impossible unless we get this part right. God is not just something that we do once a week. He's so much more than just attending services and checking Him off our to-do list for the week. He's so much more than reading a couple of verses in His Word and spending a minute or two in prayer and saying, okay, well, my time with God is done for the day. He's so much bigger than those things. He's so much bigger than even what He's doing right here at Cornerstone. He's so much bigger than what He's doing in the state of North Carolina, in the United States, or so much bigger than what He's doing even in this world. He's bigger than time and space. Now think about that. Time is nothing for Him. Space is nothing for Him. He is God. His name is to be hallowed. He's to be celebrated. He's to be revered. He's to be esteemed. And He is to receive from His people honor and glory. Worship. We're to hold Him in the utmost reverence and awe of what He is doing and who He is. Think about this. Your God loves you so much. Now think about what you did over this last week. Where you were, what you were doing. Think about this. Your God loves you so much. He desires to be the center of your personal little universe. He desires to be the center of your life. May God forgive me for the many times that I've made things about me. May He forgive me for the many times I made it about what I wanted, about my agendas, my wants, my wishes. May He forgive me for the times when I made things about what I thought was best. He wants to be our God. And for us to be His people. What a blessing. What a salvation we have that our God, the great God of the universe, wants to be the center of our universe. He wants to be the center of my world. He wants to have a close, personal relationship with me that is growing every single day. How blessed we are, church. But for us, let's bring this down and let's say, how does this apply? Because I think it's very easy for us to say, well, yeah, Jeff, God is holy. I get that. But my question to you is this. If we really know God is holy, does our life show it? Now the rubber's meeting the road. Does our life show it? In other words, does our life demonstrate that we honor, that we revere, that we esteem God above everything else in our lives? We all agree that the Holy Spirit indwells us, right? So y'all check me here, okay? Follow up, track with me. Think about the things that you focused those eyes on this week. Whatever it was that you put in your ears. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, and then you're allowing a feeling of anger, a frustration, mistrust, a lack of forgiveness to dwell in the same place as the Holy Spirit. Really? Hallowed be your name. He's to be revered. He is holy. Look in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this verse, Jesus' prayer begins to change the focus just a little bit. And here Jesus begins to focus on the doctrine of the kingdom. In fact, the word kingdom, the Greek word for kingdom, is used 167 times throughout the New Testament alone. So do you think that He's trying to tell us something? Do you think this is important? You better believe it. It's important that we get this kingdom principle, this kingdom doctrine, that we understand what our vision is supposed to look like, that we understand what our hearts ought to look like. It's important that we understand this. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, your kingdom come, or may you reign. May you reign. May your gospel be advanced everywhere. And then the second part of having this kingdom vision, I want you to catch this, is the constant focus on the kingdom. See, I, so like so many of you, I'm sure, head out the door with my coffee and maybe my laptop in my hand, and I'm focused on everything that's going to happen that day. And what God would have me do is throughout my day, throughout every part of my life, He would have me have a vision that sees His will, His wants, His wishes, and those things come ahead of me. He would have us have a singular focus in which the work of Christ in and through us, God can use to stretch us. Here's where things get really kind of dicey, okay? Because we don't like being stretched. We don't like being outside our comfort zones. But church, it is absolutely imperative that we open our eyes and we begin to see things as God sees it, and we allow Him to stretch us beyond our little world, our little circle of influence that we operate in 7 days a week. And we begin to have a big picture vision, because Jesus is not just involved in church stuff. He's not just involved in spiritual stuff. He's at work everywhere. He's at work everywhere, working through and in everything, weaving every event in the course of human history towards His ultimate plan for the kingdom. Now, this means for you and for me that we engage this world, when we engage this world in the ministries of evangelism, when we engage this world in the ministries of missions, we are literally entering into to what Christ is doing in this world. Why do you think it feels so good when we go on a mission trip? Because during that time when we're on a mission trip, we're focused only on what God's doing. We ought to live our whole life like that, church. And folks, it means that our ultimate goal is not just our personal salvation, as important as that is. Our ultimate allegiance is not to Cornerstone. Our ultimate allegiance is to the King of the Kingdom. Did y'all catch that? Our ultimate allegiance is to be to the King of the Kingdom. Our ultimate goal in everything that is said and done, not only in this place, but in every moment of our life, ought to be the furtherance of that kingdom. This means that when we look at any program here in the church, and I mean any program, any event, any resource, any building, anything that God has entrusted us with, that we look at that with a kingdom vision, and we ask ourselves, whether it's VBS or Awana, or whether it's a Senior Saints Day, or a meal, or a fellowship time, or a backpack ministry, or whatever it is we're going to do, we need to always ask ourselves, how are others going to be reached? How are others going to be impacted by this effort or by the use of this resource? Now let me bring it right to the front doors of Cornerstone this morning. Having a kingdom vision means that it doesn't matter what color the carpet is. Having a kingdom vision means that it doesn't matter what type of music we have, how many services we have, whether we got a church bus or whether we don't. What matters is that we use, here it comes, y'all listen. What really matters is that we use every precious moment, every precious resource that we have been entrusted with to enlarge the kingdom. Those are the things that matter. That's kingdom vision. That's looking past ourselves. Having a kingdom vision means that we don't look backward. It means that we don't look at things the way, well, I want it done this way. No! That couldn't be further from correct. Because it's not about us. It's about what He would do. It's about what He wants. It's not about what we deem necessary. It's about what He deems necessary. Listen, and my time's about gone, but I'm going to preach. I read this week more than 10,000 churches are going to close the doors in 2017 alone. Right here in America. A large part of them right here in the Bible Belt. Listen, if you've heard me say nothing else over the last 3 months together, I pray that you get this. This world in which we live is changing. I think we can all agree with that. I think we can all see that. If you can't, see me after service. Nothing wrong with you. I'm just telling you, see me after service. I'd love to share some more with you. This world in which we live is changing, and it's changing rapidly for the church. Listen to me. We never, ever, ever, ever compromise on the message. The message never changes. Did y'all hear me? The message never changes. But church, our methods must. We can no longer do things the way we've always done and think that we're going to reach this world. It's not going to happen. Everything's got to be on the table. Just say, okay, God, whatever you want us to do. Maybe as a church, we're sitting here and saying, wow, our doors are open 2 days a week. We got a lot of kids right here in this neighborhood. Maybe we want to open the doors. We want to get a bunch of senior adults together, a lot of former educators. We want to get a lot of people together that are willing to sit down and help kids learn to read. And you open the doors of the church, and you do that after school for a few hours. Some of the biggest churches that I know of started doing just that ministry. You know why? Because it wasn't about them. It wasn't about numbers either. It was about the kingdom. Please don't think when I use examples like that, I'm suggesting that's what I've got a vision for us to do. We've got to run out and do it. I'm simply using that as an example. Maybe it means a Saturday night worship service. Y'all realize that's one of the fastest growing trends out there? Or an early morning. I mean like crack of dawn for people getting out third shift kind of morning service. Those are working too. It's all got to be on the table. We've got to be willing to put our wants, our own wishes, our own thoughts, our own processes, our own agendas aside and say, God, it's yours. Stretch my borders. For us as Christians, it means we've got to think with a kingdom vision. For us as individuals, it means that our life has to change too. It means that maybe in doing what we normally do every day, we pray and we ask God to open our eyes to where we see a person in that office or on that job that we normally work that's hurting, struggling, that either needs to be saved or is in need of direction. And maybe that means that rather than riding down the road by ourselves in our own little car, enjoying our time, our alone time, maybe that means we carpool with somebody else so we can invest in them and build a relationship. Maybe it means that we don't eat lunch with our friends. Maybe it means that we ask that person and say, hey, how about me and you go hang out and eat lunch together? And we invest continually in that person's life. It means that we're willing to change up any part of our life in order to better invest and impact somebody else's life. That's what it means for us as individuals. And I would ask you this. Do you remember that time in your life when you were struggling? Maybe the marriage was broken. Maybe there was trouble in the family. There was trouble on the job. Maybe you were struggling with something in your life. Who'd you turn to? Who'd you go to? Now, I want you to imagine not having anybody to turn to. I want you to imagine not having anyone to go to. Listen, there are people that are all around us in our daily lives that feel just like they are absolutely drowning. And all they need is somebody that's got the vision to see them hurting. Someone who has the heart to be willing to spend time with them, to listen to them. And a church that's willing to open their heart and open their mind and open their doors and do whatever it takes to make them feel welcome and to make them feel loved. That's willing to accept them as they are, not try to clean them up before they get through the door and make them act or walk and talk like us. Look in verse 10. My time's gone. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice that second phrase. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The intended meaning here is not what we commonly think of. This is not some just resolution of saying, well, Lord, it's all yours, so whatever you want, I'm okay with it. That's not what Jesus is saying here at all. It's not just throwing our hands up and saying, oh, well. What Jesus is saying here is for us to pray for God's perfect will to be done right here on earth, just the same as it's being done right in His throne room in heaven, in the here and in the now. See, church, that's complete surrender. A kingdom vision reveals a surrendered heart. Surrendering to our King in the here and in the now. It means for us as a church and for us as individuals that everything is done. Listen, here it comes. Not the way we think, not the way we want, not our own agendas, but it's saying, here are we, God, use us. Here am I, God, send me. It's snowing with 100% certainty what God's will is, and then moving forward in unity. That's what a surrendered church looks like. But listen, in order to have a kingdom vision, it takes two things. It takes faith, and it takes surrender. Kingdom vision will stretch you beyond your borders of what you're comfortable with. And that's a good thing. Because then you begin to see the bigger picture. It'll stretch us past the borders that Cornerstone ministers in, and we'll begin to see this whole vast universe as the domain of our King. The reality is, church, we are but small pieces. But our opportunities to impact the kingdom are endless. Our power is endless because it comes from the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And I would ask you, we're getting ready to have a hymn of invitation, and I realize we've got a meeting coming up here in just a few minutes. Will you come and ask God to help you have and further develop a kingdom vision?